Hi friends, welcome to Spilling the Beans podcast, where we spill the beans on all things intuitive eating, health at every size, body acceptance, and gentle nutrition. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Amanda Lambrix, and you may know me as @spillingthebeans_nutrition on Instagram and Facebook. Go ahead, get comfortable, grab a snack, and let's get started spilling the beans. Welcome back. I have to tell you that hitting publish on my first episode of the podcast was such a bizarre thrill. I have a cliche bucket list that I've been keeping since probably middle school, and people that know me know that I refer to it often. But instead of those typical things like go skydiving or bungee jumping, I have things that are pretty dorky, such as give a TED talk, create an online course for my business. Pretty much every single item, with the exception of a few places I want to travel to, all revolve around work on my bucket list, and I'm starting to think that maybe I need to find a hobby. Yet, here I am starting a podcast, which I guess you could say is kind of a hobby, but it's also work-related, and now I officially get to cross that off my bucket list, so I'm pretty excited about that. As I mentioned before, the first episode was really just intended to introduce you to the podcast, give you a brief background of myself, and also the reasons why I wanted to start the podcast. And this week I want to dive into a topic that I don't think is talked about enough. And that particular topic is the transition from graduating college and entering the real world, as I like to refer to it as. So for this episode, we're going to be talking about some of the reasons why that transition is so difficult, and what are some tips to help you survive that particular period of your life. When I think back to my transition from graduate school to the working world, I don't really think I fully grasped at the time that I was struggling with that adjustment. Actually, upon reflection, I think I was just so excited to pass my exam, get out there, and finally be able to work and not have homework. And I had been thinking about being a dietitian and really dreaming about being a dietitian since I was 17 years old. However, I quickly found myself coming home from work after my clinical job in a hospital and napping for hours. And this just wasn't like me. Don't get me wrong, I was an expert power napper in high school and college, but something was different about this period of my life. The frequency and the length of these naps were just out of character for me. Not only was it difficult for me to then sleep at night afterwards, but it also perpetuated this shame cycle within my own life. So I felt ashamed of myself for sleeping so much and not being productive, which is a huge deal for me. But I couldn't seem to get out of that funk. I was actually pretty convinced that I had a vitamin deficiency because certainly there had to be a nutritional reason why I was so exhausted upon minimal exertion. Turns out I was depressed and there was no nutrition deficiency or thyroid problem in sight. I was depressed. And what I hadn't realized at the time was that all of these different changes that I was experiencing, so going from a life with friends and a social life in Illinois to being all by myself in an apartment at a job that wasn't as exciting as I had imagined it would be. Particularly since I watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy during my college time, I think I had a different idea of what it was going to be like to work at a hospital. And all of those expectations and this grandeur picture that I had in my head really led me to feel depressed. And I know I'm not alone. Each year, when you think about it, thousands of adults my age graduate and they find themselves with new routines and an entirely new set of responsibilities. And I don't know anyone who can really say that they ever felt fully prepared for this period of their life. As a disclaimer, I want to acknowledge that there are many amazing people out there who didn't or aren't taking that traditional route with schooling, meaning they maybe didn't go straight to college after graduating high school. And maybe if you're in this situation, perhaps you started a family and then decided to go back to school. Maybe you switched career paths and you're now facing this type of scenario now. So for the sake of simplicity and time, for today's episode, we're just going to be talking solely about that traditional route. First, because that's the route I know. And second, I just think it's going to be easier to talk about those specific scenarios. And if you'd like down the road, we can always circle back to this topic in another episode and talk about other situations and the whole other set of challenges that can come along with those non-traditional paths, because that's a whole other episode in itself. And perhaps I can invite someone on who can actually give you their experience from that perspective. I also want to take the time to acknowledge my own privilege and the fact that I was able to go to a higher level of education right away in that traditional manner. So let's talk about what's going on during this stage of life. Well, first of all, you're starting an entirely new routine. It's probably a bit different than it was in college, where you maybe were staying up at late hours during the week and the weekend. And if you maybe didn't have class right away in the morning, perhaps you were sleeping later in the morning. Whereas now, if you're like me, you probably have to get up at a pretty set time each day. You're probably not able to sleep in until 10 a.m. during a work week. And depending on your college schedule and what that was like for you at the time, you may be coming up on more free time, or perhaps it could be the opposite and you might have less free time. It really just kind of depends. I initially had more free time, and that's ultimately what led me to start my business. I think I was a bit bored. But beyond that, I wasn't quite sure how to handle not having homework and 100 extracurricular activities consuming my every waking moment. Not only that, but it may be the first time you're entirely on your own financially. So for myself, while I paid for my own college education thanks to scholarships, loans, and also working throughout college, I was fortunate to have my parents support me by paying for my car insurance, health insurance, and also my cell phone bill. So when my big girl check came along, I had no idea what I was doing in terms of setting all of this up. I took nearly every chemistry class under the sun in college, but I was never taught about investing in retirement plans, had no idea what the heck a 401k or a 403b was. I didn't know anything about insurance. And those are the things that I know I'm not the only one who feels this way, but I think we need a college course on it, and I think it would be popular. And even though I consider myself to be pretty money savvy, I was still overwhelmed with all of this new information. On top of that, life in the real world just wasn't exactly how I pictured it. So let me take you back to younger Amanda. I was pretty naive and perhaps hopeful in the sense that I always thought that when I grew up to be an adult or a young woman, like in the movies or my favorite television shows, I thought I was going to be living in a big city like New York City, having this perfect high-paying corporate job where I dressed up really sharp every day and I wore high heels. And I always thought I'd be meeting up with my girlfriends at our favorite hangout spot after work. So you can kind of think of the show How I Met Your Mother or Friends to see where I was getting my inspiration. So when I found myself in a small town in a job that was really nothing like my 12-year-old self imagined, I felt a bit underwhelmed and rather disappointed. And that's not to say there was anything wrong with the community I lived in. In fact, this town is such a great community, so many wonderful people that I met during my time there. It was more my attitude that I had during this period of my life, and also those unrealistic expectations that I also had. This was also the first time in my life where I was living entirely on my own. And though I'm a very independent person, I found myself feeling lonely and experiencing FOMO, or fear of missing out, as I would mindlessly scroll through my social media feeds, which is never helpful. Hint, hint. And here's the thing, no one ever really talks about those less glamorous sides of our lives on social media. We know and we're told that it's a highlight reel, yet it's so easy to get sucked into comparing our lives to someone else's curated feed. Even though I know all these things, to this day I still have those moments where I get sucked into comparing myself to someone's perfect Instagram feed. So how does all this relate to nutrition? where am I going with this? You're probably wondering, like, what the heck is she ranting about? Well, there's actually a greater link than you might realize. I work with a lot of clients, particularly women who are in this stage of their life. And often what I find is that it becomes more tempting to then fall back into dieting or restrictive eating, or you might also find yourself eating more out of emotion than listening to your hunger or fullness cues. And think about it. If you're someone who classified yourself as a perfectionist or a high achiever during your school years, you might be left feeling like there's some sort of void and no way to measure your worth after you graduate. Upon my own reflection, that was definitely the case for me. For me, I always put pressure on myself since probably middle school to get high grades, and I felt like that was validating for me, even though no one else in my life was putting any amount of pressure on me to get perfect straight A's, 4.0 GPA. So my mindset was, get an A? Okay, yes, you have worth in this world. Spoiler alert, that's actually not how self-worth works, and we'll be covering that in episode 3, so hopefully you can stay tuned for next week. But when your brain is wired in that way, it's almost like you need to find something to replace the grades in your life. So often what I find is that people turn to controlling food, exercise, or both. And a lot of times the case is that it is both. So that's kind of the situation that I found myself in during this period of my life. This was actually the part of my life where I even began dabbling in macro counting and heavy weightlifting. I'd never done macro counting prior to that. I didn't even really fully understand why people were doing that. I think I was still in that mentality of before when I was calorie counting. Side note, there's also nothing inherently wrong with weightlifting. It's more the attitude and the motivation for why I was doing it that was a disordered place for me and not the healthiest for my relationship with exercise. And I've seen similar trends with my clients. It may start out as this innocent way to get healthier, or perhaps you're trying to pick up a new hobby because now you have more time. You're not worried about turning in papers on time or studying for an exam. But the problem is, if you already have those achievement-oriented tendencies where that's determining your self-worth, it might not be all that difficult for it to turn into this slippery slope that can then result in an eating disorder, disordered eating behaviors, or if you already had an eating disorder in the past, this might also be triggering for you and cause you to relapse. And I do want to say this isn't to say that this happens to everyone that maybe picks up eating differently after they graduate or picks up a new form of exercise. We know that's not the case, right? But I do think that this is a subset of the population that's really not talked about enough. So today I wanted to not only introduce the topic of why this is important and also validate any of those feelings that you may be experiencing and no one's ever talked to you about. I want you to know that, hey, I've been there too, and I made it out just fine and on to the next part of my life. And I want to give you some tips that may be helpful in helping you get through this portion of your life. But first, I do want to give a quick disclaimer that what I'm giving you for advice is just meant for informational and educational purposes only. It's never a substitute for medical and mental health advice. So before we can really even talk about food, it's so important to understand that food typically isn't the problem itself. There's typically this extra layer to the situation. Often what I notice in my clients and in myself, that there's this underlying set of emotions that you're trying to numb through, be it restriction, binging, or overexercising. And if you've never seen a therapist before, or even if you have, now would probably be a really good time to seek one out. Prior to this period of my life, I had seen a therapist before in college, so it was a little bit easier and less intimidating for me to reach out to a therapist locally. But I do want to acknowledge that this is a huge step, and to give yourself some credit, because it's not always easy to do that, because even though we are talking about mental health more in our society, I do still think there's a lot of work to be done with the stigma around mental health. So first of all, if you reach out to a therapist, I want you to give yourself a huge pat on the back, because that in itself is so strong on your part. So when I saw a new therapist at that time, when I was dealing with my own transition to the working world, she completely normalized this experience for me, which was very helpful. It made me feel like I was less alone, and it also made me realize that there's probably a lot of women that were feeling the exact same emotions and feelings as I was. And it also gave me permission to not feel ashamed for those emotions, because I wasn't the only one who was doing those same things, like sleeping after work and feeling less motivated or interested in hobbies that I had. In addition to therapy, other things that can be really helpful might include journaling or finding hobbies, particularly if you don't find your current 9-to-5 job or whatever the work schedule is. If you're not finding that especially stimulating or enjoyable and you're not looking forward to it, it's going to be really important that you find things that you are looking forward to outside of those working hours. And if you can't think of anything, try something new and try to be gentle with yourself, because if you're like I am and you like to be good at everything, this might also be really good practice in just doing things for the sake of fun and not for a competitive edge. So beyond those coping skills, there's certainly other areas of your life that I think are important to examine. So for example, sleep, eating, movement, and body image are some of the areas that I find are really common that need to establish a routine, or perhaps you are in too much of a routine, for example, with your eating and exercise, and we need to bring in more flexibility. This is where working with someone one-on-one can be really, really helpful. And we're also going to be talking about a lot of these topics individually in their own episodes, because if I were to break down each of those topics today for you, you'd probably be listening to this podcast for quite a while, and I can imagine you're going to be pretty sick of hearing my voice. I would be sick of hearing my voice. And because there's so much to each of these pieces of the puzzle, it's actually what prompted me to create a course over the summer called College to the Real World, Living and Eating Intuitively. And the entire point of that course that I created is to give you that support that you need, and it's at an affordable cost, so if you're not able to, at this point in your life, afford that one-on-one coaching, therapy, or dietitian work, you can get something to help you and give you the support for this point in your life. And the entire point of the course is really just to give you that support that you need and also set you up for success, not only for right now, but also for the rest of your life. I think it's important that we can think about the types of habits and the types of attitudes that we're having towards food and exercise right now so that we can translate to the rest of our life. In this course, I use real-life examples of how you can apply the intuitive eating principles. I also help you formulate a self-care routine, find some form of movement that brings you joy. I also talk about the importance of rest on the flip side of movement. And really, the whole point and the overarching theme is that I want you to help build confidence with your body that can also transfer over to your relationships and your career. Along the way, of course, I also provide resources that are pretty commonly used with my one-on-one clients, such as handouts and other exercises. And I also provide you with my book club guide that I created to go along with the Intuitive Eating book written by Elise Resch and Evelyn Tribbley. And the cool thing about the course is that if you do decide that you need more individualized coaching and you do want to work with me and you think that my approach resonates with you, I do offer a discount for people that take my course to get a reduced cost with my services as a thank you. If you are interested in learning more about this course, no pressure, but it is at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course. So you can see that entire introduction module for free right now as a special thank you for tuning in today. And that will all be at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course. I really hope this episode helped provide you with some relief that if you're going through a similar stage of your life right now, and it can be any life transition, not just graduating from college, but I hope you realize that you're not alone. This is actually quite normal and no one's talking about it, whether it be because they think they're the only one or they feel shame about it, whatever the case may be. I hope that this episode helped serve as a reminder that no matter what you're going through right now in this period of your life, whether this episode resonated with you or not, I want you to know that if you're dealing with difficult things, I always tell myself this mantra when I'm dealing with something challenging. And it's very simple. It's just, you can do hard things. It's simple. It's to the point. But it's so true, because sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed, it's hard for me to remember that, yes, I can get through this and life is going to be so much better on the other side. So I hope you know that you too can get through whatever you're dealing with in your life right now, and don't be afraid to reach out for support to help get you through it. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you again to Anchor for hosting my podcast. Be sure to download and subscribe the podcast on Apple or your favorite streaming device. And since this is the first quote-unquote real episode of the show and you've made it this far, I am going to be doing a fun giveaway. So if you subscribe to my podcast on whatever streaming device that you prefer between now and Monday, March 2nd, 2020, take a screenshot of a picture of the subscription, so showing a check that you have subscribed, share it on your stories, and tag me in it on Instagram at spillingthebeans_nutrition, and you will be entered to win a $20 Starbucks gift card. If your account is on private, no problem. I won't be able to see your stories, but just make sure that you go ahead and send me that screenshot through direct messages and you'll still be entered to win. If you're looking for ways to get started on your own journey towards food freedom, head on over to my website, as I mentioned, at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/course to get started on my self-paced course. And if you want some more individualized help, I also offer virtual coaching, and you can get in touch with me at spillingthebeansnutrition.com/virtual-coaching. To get show notes from this episode, you can go to spillingthebeansnutrition.com/podcast. And of course, if you're not already following me on Instagram or Facebook, make sure you get on that and head on over to Instagram or Facebook and follow me at spillingthebeans_nutrition. Our album art was photographed by my very own cousin, Brittany Preller, and our theme song was written by Daniel James O'Connor and is used under the Creative Commons license.